Hello, I'm Katie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're all booked.
Welcome back to another episode of Sterling Municipal Library's podcast, where we talk to you about books we'd like to recommend.
And we have a special treat in store for you this April 1st. Instead of reviewing books, we decided it would be a lot more fun to review book reviews. It's kind of a meta book review podcast. So starting first, we actually have Katie, Erlene, and Jenna here with us today.
Hi.
And we were all eager to participate in the fun. I think Katie brought a book review she'd like to share first.
I did, and this is my dirty little secret. I've actually read this book, and it's a very popular book. It is Artemis by Andy Weir, and the book review I'm reviewing is by Alex McLovey of the AV Club, and I'm just going to read a few snippets so you can get the gist of it. The results are so clunky, Watney himself couldn't jerry-wig them into functioning. Also, as it turns out, there was a very good reason for The Martian to be about someone who's literally the only person on the planet. Weir is not good at creating any believable human interaction, or even characterization, above all when it comes to someone with the slightest bit different from his original dorky, genial, but white guy protagonist.
That's accurate, yes.
Yes, yeah. The reason I searched for this is because I felt so left out when I didn't like Artemis. I felt like I was missing something that everyone else was understanding. So I looked for this, and he's just very sassy about it the entire book review, and I really liked how descriptive he was. He used a lot of very colorful language, which is always nice. I think it's a lost art to be able to review a book in a way that is interesting.
Katie, did you actually write this review?
I was considering bringing one of my more scathing book reviews in, but I thought that would be a little too...
on the nose?
Yeah.
Actually, it was me, because I hate the book as well.
It was See, you're awful. Not alone.
Yeah, you're not alone.
Sometimes I think the negative reviews are just as good as the positive reviews.
Yes, whenever especially because you can be so spicy.
Yeah, whenever I'm looking for a review, I look for like a 5-star one and a 1-star one.
I do the same thing, yeah. So, hi. Book review that I'm reviewing, which I totally am on board with, is Gram Lady Magazine's review. This lady's name is Emily Boutte. Withering Heights. This is so good.
All read it.
So, a vicious review of an author who dared to live. How a human being could attempt such a book as the present without committing suicide before he had finished a dozen chapters is a mystery. Is it a compound of vulgar depravity and unnatural horrors? I totally felt this.
Wow.
On so many levels. Because I...
Tell me how you really feel. Really.
Yeah, I hated Wuthering Heights. I couldn't relate to it. And I was made to read it. Like, why are you making me read this? I don't understand this.
I recommend the graphic novel form if you're forced to read it. But no. I felt the same way. It was...
As aged rough. As I am, we didn't have the option of graphic novel back in the good old days.
In the day.
When you had to walk uphill both ways.
Walk uphill both ways in snow.
And you didn't even have a back. You had a leather strap.
Strap on my back. That's it. But I hated Wuthering Heights. But I love the fact that it's just really just one sentence of this,
how dare they?
When they said committing suicide, I just knew like absolutely because I wanted to die reading it.
I knew the first time when they said how could a human, and I'm just like ooh wow.
How a human not even being an could have how attempted could a such being? A book. Like I can see them mad. How could a human being? Yes. So that was my review of that one. I loved it. It was good stuff.
Jenna.
All right. So I am also bringing to the table a review for another piece of classic literature that we've probably all read. The Great Gatsby by F. Scott Fitzgerald. This was just reviewed by a customer. And the review says, excellent substitute for Valium. The most artificially inflated phenomenon since the 1929 stock market. And likewise, this book seems like a worthy instigator of a Great Depression.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
That's a pretty rough review. This book caused the Great Depression.
Yeah, I didn't like it either.
No, you didn't like it?
No.
So is that one that you didn't like that you, did you like it?
I'm not going to lie. I kind of liked the Great Gatsby.
Oh, I mean, that's fine. Yeah. I just wanted to see if we were creating like everything we only got reviews of things we didn't like.
Well, no. But, so I liked it.
Yeah, you were. This guy didn't.
Or no, okay. Hated it.
I mean, anytime you force somebody to read something, you're going to get a pretty strong reaction.
Right. Yes, people yes. Hate
it. I feel like that's the general gist of like all of the high school required reading.
Yeah, very few of them even like anything they've been forced to read. Yeah.
But it doesn't help that Great Gatsby is a lot about a lot of rich, self-absorbed people.
Yeah. It doesn't help
super
that a
not
lot
relatable
of...
when you're in high school.
Oh yeah, totally.
It doesn't help that a lot of books in high school are about things that teenagers in the 21st century cannot relate to at all.
But what's funny about that
you
is...
You mean that you didn't sip champagne
yeah.
and dance around a ballroom?
Well, the funny thing about that is the way... Great Gatsby is really how the world wants to be now with the whole Kardashian thing and all that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They idolize these things. Well, that's the same thing that was, but you don't want to read about it. You'd rather just watch it on TV or whatever.
Or experience it yourself.
Yeah.
Okay, Leslie.
So one thing I love about this review from Cracked.com, it's about James Frey, who is that literary figure that we all love to hate, best known for writing the fictional memoir, 1 Million Little Pieces.
Yes.
So this review goes so far as to not only review his book that came out in 2018 called Katerina, but it also reviewed the author's character.
Ooh.
Mm.
I have a few sentences I wanted to share with you guys. For a brief, feverish time, social media was bombarded with ads about how sexy and poignant and generally brilliant it was. Then it won both the prominent Bad Sex and Fiction Award and Cracked's Award for definitely knowing what sex is.
Wow. That's uncomfortable.
And to make it even worse, like I said, they attack Frey's character in addition to his writing. So this is a description of Frey. In interviews and speeches, he makes lofty proclamations about how he wants to make literary history and change the world, how he never should have apologized for lying because there's no such thing as truth, and how the only great writers are dead white men, and he'll one day rank among them. He's a tedious bore who thinks he's an edgy rebel, an empty charlatan who thinks he's an underappreciated artist, despite accruing more money and fame than most artists ever will.
Well, dang.
I know.
That hurt my feelings for him.
Oh, God.
But anyway, on to Katerina, which, like I said, came out on September 11th of last year.
Well, okay. I mean...
or no, 2018, not last year.
Okay.
I know what year it is. But still. The titular character Katerina cheats on him, then comes back decades later to tell him that she's sorry and he's awesome right before she dies of cancer. She's not a character, just an absolving sex trophy.
Perfect.
So anyway, this actually segues beautifully into our next segment of this podcast, where we're going to talk about books that we would never in a million years want to read.
Mm-hmm.
Katerina is easily on my list, although I am kind of curious about what scene made it earn the worst sex scene in fiction award for that year.
We have to do research.
Google that sometimes. I've looked at a few of them before. It's bad. It's rough. They don't even know anatomy.
It's rough.
Yeah.
So, Jenna, what is a book that you would never in a million years want to read?
All right, so I had a hard time with this, but the title that I came up with is called Wild Animus, a novel by Rich Shapiro.
Mm-hmm.
And a little snippet from the description says, drug dealer Sam Altman graduates college in the 60s, moves to Alaska, and transforms into a ram. What?
This is like some Greek mythology stuff.
Yeah, so apparently this guy, like, he graduates college, moves to Alaska, and he takes his girlfriend with him, and he's got this, like, inexplicable urge to lose himself in the wilderness.
And to butt heads with people?
Butt heads with people. There you go. Maybe that's why he wants to become a ram. But he, like, teams up with his girlfriend, and they're, like, bent on helping him realize his dreams, whatever they are. Maybe to become a ram. I don't know how he becomes a ram.
I mean, is it like a werewolf kind of thing where it's only occasionally, or is he just permanently turning into one?
Well, see, I can't tell you that because I'm never going to read it.
So, okay.
But I found this great review on Goodreads. The person rated it 5 stars, and then immediately underneath the 5 stars it says, sarcasm alert, I don't actually think this book deserves 5 stars. You could think about all the good things about it, like it's shorter than Atlas Shrugged. And it finally provides an ending for the sentence, Twilight is better than blank.
Aww,
ooh, that's harsh.
That is harsh.
But at the bottom he says, just keep pretending this book isn't the worst thing ever, and it won't.
Wow.
So that's one way to look at it.
Everyone here knows I hate romances with a passion. It boils my blood and ails my soul. So this book's called Nanny and the Beast.
Yeah.
Right there to tell you.
You know exactly what it's about.
Yeah, and it has 3 main characters, Yuri, April, and OMG. Let me tell you about OMG. OMG. Yeah, OMG. His eyes are like a wolf's. pitiless, mesmerizing, dangerous. Obviously, he is drop-dead gorgeous, but I can't stop imagining his big, tan hands. Stop me, slip my wrist, throw salt and acid in the wound.
Hold on, I don't think it's so obvious that he's handsome.
just so you know, if you ever decided, I don't know, in an act of self-loathing that you wanted to have a second career, you could easily narrate romance novels.
Yeah, that would be so good.
Because that was weirdly compelling.
I have a problem with that. I think the people are probably going to get upset if you throw in the stop me, slip my
I apologize. You know.
So then you can just get somebody to read it for you and then tell you all about it.
How great. Yeah, this but
perfect. Everything you're missing.
I like that they named him OMG.
Yeah, wow. OMG. And then you have April, lives in a white mansion in London, magnet for playboys and Russian billionaires. Like, what? It makes you want to like move your shoulders and say, "Oh my god, what's happening?" And it's just, you know, Nanny and the Beast. So clearly, it must be the nanny who's probably. Mm-hmm. Come from a non-privileged family, and he's the Beast, who's OMG, and who has the wolf, pitless, mesmerizing, dangerous eyes.
What is pitless eyes?
I haven't, but clearly it's...
Do they not have pupils?
That's what I'm imagining, is that they're pupil-less, and that's terrifying.
And his hands are tanned and caressing every inch of...
Does he go to the tanning booth and, like, just stick his hands in there?
He's probably... Yes. You know what? Just his hands. He's probably OMG. Naturally tanned already, and this is by Georgia.
But the rest of his body is covered up, so you can't tell that the rest of him is...
OMG.
Always wears a suit.
But I think it's very important to say that your hands age you the fastest. Yeah. So OMG, stop tanning your hands.
And if you want this book, it's like a whole bunch of them, the billionaire mafia romance. No.
Next. You did a very good job reading the back cover of that.
Thank you.
I could tell you were trying not to throw up in your mouth.
I was. It's still there. Is
she
it?
Okay, so this is a book I would never read. I actually just Googled books about pickup artists because I know that I won't ever read any of them. And I got Pickup Artist, The New and Improved Art of Seduction.
You can say it.
It's okay.
I can't say
She's so biased against the book, she can't even say the title.
By Eric von Markovic, Chris Odom, and Neil Strauss. Three authors. They needed three of them for this book. It's published in 2010. I have to read the synopsis, but I'm going to read it in my I Definitely Work for MTV voice. The world's greatest pickup artist is back. After the best-selling expose, The Game, pulled back the curtain on mystery in his culture of professional pickup artists, he became an international phenomenon. Unfortunately, while it's no secret that Mystery's ideas are wildly effective, women have started catching on. They've seen the show and heard the routines, so now it's time for the next level of game. With techniques honed over 15 years of trial, error, and ultimate triumph, following his hit VH1 reality series, the celebrated sensei is back with his latest living large exploits and a new and improved playbook for the 21st century playboy.
Oh no, I can't.
Women have started catching on,
guys. I just want to know about one of the techniques, honestly.
I almost copy and pasted the techniques in, but I was like, no, that's just too long.
Spare us, please.
Okay, so this is the most exciting part. We've talked about the reviews. We've done the book we wouldn't read. So that was very similar to our normal format. But now we're going to go into our April Fool's game show portion, where we're going to play Real or Fake.
But before that, let's throw in some music.
Yeah. Wow, good music. Was it real or fake? Who knows?
We definitely just danced.
Okay, so we will start off with one person giving a list of three books, two which are real, one which is fake, and it will be up to the group to decide which is real and which is fake.
I'll go first.
Fantastic.
I volunteer. Okay, so I will read off the titles and a quick little sentence about the book. And
sure.
You guys have to guess. Okay. My first one is The Beginner's Guide to Animal Autopsy.
Okay.
The Hands-In Approach to Zoology.
Hands-in.
Investigate the inner workings of animals from the lowliest worm to the giant blue whale. Okay? So that's my first one.
Okay.
The second one is The Airport Played Fox News. A three-hour layover just became a three-hour nightmare.
It's just like a memoir, but 3 hours.
The worst memoir ever. Okay, and my third title is The History and Social Influence of the Potato. First published in 1949, this remarkable book is the culmination of a lifelong study of every aspect of the potato.
Those were some good choices. I'm going to have to go ahead and... I'm going to vote for number two. I feel like I would definitely read a book about the history of a potato.
Yeah, I'm thinking the Fox News.
So wait, which one is fake?
Which one is fake?
The first one.
The first one?
The animal autopsy?
Yes.
Okay. So we can do individual votes and just figure out
who's sorry.
Who's right. No, it's cool.
Leslie, are you going to go with?
I'm going with the second one.
Okay.
Because I don't think very many people would want to read it.
Okay. So, Earlene, I'm sorry, you were wrong. Animal Autopsy is a real book.
Yeah, it sounds totally real. I'd read it.
Yeah. Given how many dissections I had to perform in the past, I'm not really surprised.
I was like, I have to perform?
Yeah.
And so, yes, the fake one was Fox News.
Oh, okay.
Fake news.
I'm going to say...
I see what you did there. Okay.
I'm going to say totally have been some sort of, like, deep memoir about American culture.
Totally deep.
But it wasn't. Yeah. I'll go next, since I'm diagonal, and I have the paper in my hand, and I'm looking at it. Okay. Book number one. Goblin-Proofing One's Chicken Coop and Other Practical Advice in Our Campaign Against the Fairy Kingdom by Reginald Bakeley, 2012. In this charming guide, fairy hunter Reginald Bakeley offers practical instructions to clear your home and garden of those unsettling inhabitants and banish them from your chicken coop and kitchen cupboard forever. Book 2, A Beginner's Guide to Teaching Apes to Knit by A.L. Gardner. Guys, 1999. Many apes in captivity lead difficult and stressful lives. Teaching them to knit will be a way for them to relax and socialize with repetitive patterns and small hand movements.
That's exactly why I learned to crochet.
Are you not just an evolved ape? Okay, and third book, Extreme Ironing with Phil Shaw, 2005. In 2003, extreme ironing was the world's newest adrenaline sport, combining the thrill of extreme outdoor activity, rock climbing, mountaineering, canoeing, scuba diving, or surfing, with the satisfaction of well-pressed clothes.
I have to vote the third one. Sounds like it's the most improbable.
I'm going to say The Knitting Apes is my fake.
Okay.
What was the first one? That was Knitting Apes, right?
That was goblin-proofing your chicken poop.
That's fake.
Okay, so we've got a split decision, guys. I'll start from the bottom up. Extreme Ironing is a real book. That's right. There's a mountain with a man ironing some pants on the top. That's the cover.
Wow.
A Beginner's Guide to Teaching Apes How to Knit is a fake book.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. It should be real, though.
I mean, we teach them how to do sign language.
Yeah. Like, what's up with the goblins?
No, that's a real thing. It's just a parody book.
I guess I can smell some BS from a mile away.
See, the thing about the ape book, that's a good one, because I looked up the fact that they are actually teaching apes to knit. They just haven't written a book about it.
Oh,
ooh,
nice.
Background. Make it more believable.
Let's see here how I can stump the people. Okay, all right.
I don't like that look you just gave me.
Hey.
She's stumbling.
It's whatever. 48 Laws of Nothingness. This in-depth book delves into Robert Greene's 48 Laws of Power and Art of Seduction by sociology professor Charles Clayton to dissect each law and how the misinterpretation can be detrimental to the weak-minded readers, digging deep into the banning of the book in prisons and how men and women have been using it to get ahead in the workplace. 2010.
Okay.
Pole dancing to gospel hymns.
Hey. I'd be down with that.
Gibson's first book, Pole Dancing to Gospel Hymns, is dramatic and energetic, challenging us not to only read, but react. Hauntingly vivid, Gibson's poems dissect the current political climate through stunning imagery and careful crafting.
I believe it.
Weirdly, I do believe that.
She's presenting a dichotomy in American culture that both celebrates and demonizes female sexuality.
Everything I know about women, I learned from my tractor. By Roger Welch. This humorous guide examines everything from evading capture and the old catch and release tactic and the dreaded blind date. The ultimate contribution to mankind reveals the coveted trade secrets Roger Welch holds dear and deserves prominent placement on the bookshelf of any self-respecting male.
I have to ask, does that mean that he went on a blind date with his tractor?
Hey, I'm just saying you gotta read it.
And capture for what?
Catch and release. You know, you get them and then you get rid of them.
Come on.
I got a bonus one. If you want a bonus one, too.
A bonus one? Man. No, thank you. Excuse the result.
What was book number two?
Book number two.
This is the stripping to
was the pole dancing to gospel hymns. by Andre Gibson.
Number one was The 48 Laws of Nothingness.
Okay. Yes. And number three was Everything I Know About Women I Learned from My Tractor.
Dang, you're too good at this early.
Yeah, you really are.
I'm going to go with three is fake.
Everything I Know About Women I Learned from My Tractor?
Sure.
Okay, that's Jenna. Okay. All right,
I'm going to go with 48 Laws of Nothingness.
You got that? Okay, let's go.
Okay. I was also going to go for 48 Laws of Nothingness.
Is not real? Okay.
Yeah. So locking in my answer.
Locking in. Final. Got two.
Got two.
All right. The first real book is Pole Dancing to Gospel Hymns.
That one was just too juicy to not
read. And it's a book of poems.
Yep.
Okay. And
when you said poetry, I was like, they could be named anything.
Let me give you a little snippet of that one poem.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Content.
She pole dances to gospel hymns.
Stop it.
She pole dances to gospel hymns. Came out of her family in the middle of the Thanksgiving break. I knew she was trouble. 2 years before our first date. But my heart was a Labrador retriever. with its head hanging out the window of a car, tongue flapping in the wind on the highway going 95 whenever she walked by. I am so serious.
That is amazing.
All right.
That is okay. Deep.
Yeah. The next real book is Everything I Know About Women I Learned from My Tractor. Best-selling author and humorist Roger Wells comes through again. He has a series of books.
It's
all a play on it. And his direction is helping, this is like 2009 or something like that, helping young people in a funny way kind of maneuver dating and knowing yourself and each other. But it's really...
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, 48 Laws and Nothing Else was a fake book.
You did a phenomenal job.
You were super good. It was
very hard.
Is
that your trophy? No?
Yes, I feel like you do.
That was great. Okay, so I went a completely different route from those, and I went with three children's books.
Oh, no.
Those can be tricky because I found some crazy ones.
So, option number one, The Little Golden Book of Feelings and How to Destroy Them. Learn how to fit in with peers by pushing unsightly emotions down into the deepest corners of your subconscious. Book number two, P is for Pterodactyl. Why does the word gnat start with a G, but the word not doesn't start with an N?
Hmm.
It doesn't always make sense, but don't let these rule-breaking silent letters defeat you.
Okay.
The final one is Don't Make Me Go Back, Mommy, a child's book about satanic ritual abuse. 5-year-old Allison is one of a group of children who are abused and subjected to horrible rituals at a perverse daycare center. But with therapy and her parents' love, she begins the healing process.
Okay. I'm just going to quickly, as a good person with a moral compass, say that's the fake one.
I strangely feel that's a real book that's probably published in the 70s.
No, here, I thought it was real until she started laughing so hard. Now I feel like it would be mean if it was real.
I'm going to go with the fake one being The Gnat. I know was a real book.
Yeah,
it's
real. But the first one, what was the first one?
Destroying Emotions.
Feelings and How to Destroy
Them. Even though that could be real, I think that's a fake one.
I'm going to go with the first one also.
Okay, I'm going to be.
So we're bad people? Is that what you're doing right now?
Yeah. There's a moral imperative to think that Leslie shouldn't laugh about stories of abuse.
I am that demented. That is a real book.
That's a real book?
Yes.
But The Little Golden Book of Feelings and How to Destroy Them is actually an album. It's not a book.
Okay.
Yes.
I knew that book was real. I knew that little demented stuff was real.
I know. Yeah. You can buy it on Amazon for $225.
I'm telling you. When was it published?
I want to say it was like the 60s or something.
I knew it.
The Satanic Panic.
Yeah. Right. Satanic Panic, absolutely.
Yeah.
Pull them out the school. Don't, like, help them. Like, take them out the school. That's a whole other situation. That was so good.
That was a fantastic April Fool's podcast. One of our longer podcasts, but I think it was worth
totally
it.
Totally worth it.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I haven't laughed this hard in a long time.
Has anybody cried during
a podcast yet? No, not yet.
Leslie has taken
that's our goal now, though.
Laugh till you cry.
Yeah, laugh till you cry. Experience emotional breakdown until you cry. We don't care what happened.
Can't breathe like I was doing.
We don't care how we get tears.
Throw up.
Yep. All of the bodily functions are welcome.
All right, and stay tuned next week for some real book reviews.
Make sure to leave your own favorite books you'll never read below.
Bye.
Bye.